The way you're working is not working. The old school approach of sacrificing your personal life for professional gain has succeeded only in breeding a workplace culture of overwork, disengagement, and burnout. Welcome to the Work Less, Produce More podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lisa Boulanger, CEO of Conscious Works Consulting and expert in proactive mental health and performance in the workplace. My goal is to teach leaders to consciously build their workplace culture. Whether you're leading five people or 500, the dynamics you set in your workplace matter. We will cover essential skills to live and lead sustainable work, leveraging the latest research on how to work and, maybe even more importantly, learning how to unwork. This podcast will help you work sustainably, lean in, and enjoy it with the support of an inspired and fulfilled team. While there's no one answer, each episode I will explore with a guest experts considerations, ideas, and tools you need to create work-life integration that fuels your drive instead of draining your ambition. On today's podcast, we're talking to Dr. Bradley Cooper. Dr. Cooper is the CEO of U.S. Corporate Wellness, co-founder of the Catalyst Coaching Institute, author of four books, and holds two U.S. patents. Dr. Cooper has a PhD in performance psychology and dual master's degrees in physiotherapy and an MBA. He's the host of Catalyst Health, Wellness, and Performance Coaching podcast with almost 225 episodes, one that I was very honored to be part of. And he was featured in the 2016 film Godspeed and identified by several publications as the world's fittest CEO. Along the way, he's fallen deeper in love with his bride of 30 years, treasured being a dad to three incredible and married kids, completed 11 Ironman, won the race across America, and spoken professionally in all 50 states and internationally. Needless to say, he's accomplished a couple things. So excited to talk to him today about exactly how he takes time off during a very busy schedule. So we're talking about work less, produce more, and you brought up recesses. So I got to know, what is this concept? How have you integrated it?
So it was a desperate move. I have tried for several years to get down to that 4-day work week or some semblance of that. And it just doesn't work. Part of the problem is I enjoy my job. And you're like, that's a problem. Well, it's a problem for trying to trim it down to 4 days, right? Because I'm naturally drawn in. It's that siren song. So one of the things I've been experimenting with this year, and it's, I don't want to say I've got it perfected, but it's working better than the alternative. And that's this idea of recess. I'm in my mid-50s and I'm thinking 5, 6, 7 years from now, I want to dial it back from 60 hours to 40 hours to maybe 20 hours. So I was thinking, well, how do you go about that? So I'm trimming from different areas. So instead of getting up and being in the office at 6 a.m., I spend that first hour and a half or so reading, journaling, thinking things through, that type of thing. And then in the afternoon, I do it the opposite. I'm throwing in this recess idea where anything is on the table. So I might go for a walk. I might play Frisbee with the dog. I might dig rocks out of we've got a spot we live in out here in Colorado that's got plenty of rocks to dig out of the ground. Or I might go shoot arrows in the archery that we've got. It doesn't matter. It's not work and it's not screen time. That's the big one. So I'm not going to pop on Netflix. I'm not going to go through social media of some sort. I'm outside. I'm reading a book. I'm journaling. I'm playing with the dog. I'm going for a run. I'm hopping on the gravel bike. I'm going paddleboarding. I'm digging rocks. It doesn't matter, but it's not screen time. So I've got it blocked in at 2 o'clock every day. Sometimes it's an hour. Sometimes it's 40 minutes. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but it's my afternoon recess. And I've played with it for a few months. The first month or so I was doing this, but I didn't have a good word for it. And then finally one day, our daughter's a fifth grade teacher. And I think she said something about recess with the kids. And I'm like, that's it. That is it. Because just that word, when you see recess on your calendar, it changes your mindset. It is literally a spark where you go, it's recess time. Obviously not every day I don't go, it's recess time. But it just fills you with that sense of what you had as a third grader. Yes. You know, it's just like, yes, Hey, this is fun. And it fits the description too. It's not work. It's not TV. It's recess. And if the weather cooperates, it's outside.
Well, think about
like when you are a kid, how forward you look to recess, like totally. You kind of count down to it. Totally. Everybody just bombards the schoolyard yep. and you need it. We know that about kids, but it's true for adults. You will be more productive. You'll think clearer. Like there's all these really great benefits of having a little like, and I love how you're describing it, but it's play or it's enjoyment and fun that growth. We don't always schedule in. And then that's the last or the first thing, excuse me, that comes off our to-do list.
Totally.
And things get busy. So what is the impact you've seen from this? And I love using even the word recess. I think you're right. Like that is something to look forward to. And even the word break involves a little bit more of a guilt that comes with it. And
right. stuff at recess. Right. I need to get back.
Yeah, exactly. So what have you noticed from this experiment?
You know, it's interesting because I do monitor what's the outcome. I'm a very outcomes-based person in the first place. And, you know, you talk a lot on your podcast about greater productivity, not just for our four-day weeks, but how can I get more done in the same time or less time? And I'm finding that's the outcome because, you know, we naturally work in blocks. And that's, I'm actually going to have a podcast coming out on our show here talking about my typical day. And just the short version of it, it's that reading reflection time early, and then my least favorite project, something that drains me or requires a lot of thought. So if I'm writing something, I might do that first thing. And then I'll take a break to work out, you know, some kind of gym, run, bike, something like that. And then back to work for a couple hours. So that recess comes after about 3 of the 4 blocks during the day, generally 2 to 3 o'clock. And then I've got one more block till about 6 o'clock. Where I'll put it in. And I think I'm more productive during the rest of the day. I don't think that hour out is causing any limits or reducing my outcomes. I think if anything, it's probably helping.
I think that's incredible because that's what the research shows. It demonstrates that, but it's hard to like shift your mindset into not working extensively. Totally. And I joke around about this, but we're both recovering academics in a few different senses. And when you grow up in academia, it's like your day has to be painful for it to be successful. Yeah. So being able to shift that mindset, yet really targeting the bottom line stuff, being able to get what you need done while taking these breaks. Is there anything else you notice? So certainly from a productivity standpoint, from a mental well-being standpoint, from a behavioral like sleep standpoint, is there anything else you notice about these recesses?
I think it's yes on all those things you mentioned. You know, it's just this time of year in Colorado, it's starting to be sunny out. We're mm-hmm. coming out of the colder time period. So it's easy to get out. So it's valuable to get that circadian rhythm back in track. It's valuable to get that time with the pup, which is always important. If you don't have a pup to spend time with, you're missing out.
You gotta get one.
So that absolutely. And I think it sparks that creativity piece because if you're in a role where it's literally just put in your time and you produce based on, you know, the old Lucille Ball thing where she's on the conveyor belt and she's got to keep up. If that's your job, then hours matter. You've right. got to put in the hours. You don't have a choice. But if you're in a service industry, a creativity, productivity piece where your writing matters or you and I both do a lot of speaking, your speaking matters, you're preparing talks, you're interacting with people, you're mentoring students or coworkers or in our case, health and wellness coaches, then it allows you to do that more effectively. And I think I learned this when I was doing triathlons. I guess I've done 11 Ironmans. I naturally wanted to do 20 hours a week of training because I felt like if I do 20 hours, I'm ready.
Right.
Well, that's a really generic statement. That's right. Like your what 5 days of work.
Yeah.
Totally. And yeah. So there was a period of time, it was actually when I went back for a PhD, that I didn't have the time. So I said, you've got 1 hour. What can you get done in 1 hour? And it was amazing. Instead of doing a 30-minute warm-up and then stretching out and doing this and doing that and then getting my intervals in, it'd be like 5-minute warm-up. And I'm a physical therapist, so I know the physiology pretty well. 5-minute warm-up, ease in, build up, hit those intervals, come back down, and then do your warm down through something else, maybe going out to get your drink of water or your protein drink or whatever it might be. So I think when you put those artificial time constraints on, you're amazed at what the brain and the body does to optimize the available time. What's the saying? Things expand to fill the available space.
Exactly. And I think that
hours,
the same thing about purses. If I have a small purse, it's filled. If I have a large purse, it's filled.
Totally.
So Why 2 p.m.? Is that their circadian rhythm dip? Is that where you personally feel like it fits?
Yeah, I tend to finish the day well. I almost have to pull myself away from work. Like I'll look at the clock and go, oh man, it's 6 o'clock. I got to get going. So I know the last couple hours of the day is super productive. I don't know what it is that things spark going forward at that point. But usually around 3 o'clock, 2:30, something like that, I hit a lull. And so I tried to pick the lull time or just before it. So by having that block 2 to 3, and it's not always 2 to 3, that's just where it is in the calendar. But yes, if it's somewhere around 2 to 3, I come out of that refreshed and it gives me a stronger finish from 3 to 6 instead of 4 to 6. And then the time leading up to that, instead of being in a post-lunch lull, I'm like, recess is coming at 2. I've got an hour and a half to get this done after lunch. Right. So I got to get rolling. It's not, oh, I wonder what's going on Twitter now. I wonder what Lisa's doing with her, you know, latest podcast. Yeah. It's like, I got 90 minutes, go.
I really feel like being a human is actually sprints and rests. To be able to do that, like have that productivity in that way, makes so much more sense to me. And I don't know if you've ever seen this quote or slide, don't ever speak after lunch because everybody's been fed and heated and then they are sleepy, right? And they're not.
They always put me on after lunch. That's like my role.
Yeah, bring up the audience, please.
Yeah, it's like, bring on Coop. We need to give him something to spark him here. So
fair.
They always give me the 1 o'clock slot. So I guess, I don't know, that's not good.
Yeah. Like, I know you're doing this instead of the 4-day work week, which totally makes sense. I think the 4-day work week, that conversation's really just around flexibility and what works for you. If you were to get a 5th day, what would you do with it? So anything and everything on the table. If you got 1 day a week with no work, no other commitments, what would you do?
I think it's what I am doing now. I've basically taken that. It's a great question. I'm taking that extra day. And instead of saying over this 10-hour day, I'd normally be working, I'm going to do this instead. I've taken that 8 to 10 hours and I've spliced it into the other, all 5 days.
Yeah.
So I'm reading longer in the morning. I'm journaling more consistently. Right. I'm exercising without it quite the bookends. I'm taking that recess. You know, you take those three things. I love to read. I love to write. I love to journal. You know, I've always got 3 books going at once. So, and I kind of, depending on the mood of the day, I love being outside. We were talking before we hit record that we live on 35 acres in northern Colorado. And I love just getting out and trimming bushes and digging rocks out of the ground with the dog. And Susanna and I love to get out and paddleboard at the reservoir nearby. So those kinds of things, if I were not doing them spliced into my days, I would probably do less of those things on those 4 and more of those things on the 5th day. And I think that's where this whole concept came from, because, you know, as I'm in my mid-50s and I'm wanting to peel back a little bit, rather than going to a hard stop, like, I don't work on Fridays, because I've tried that. It didn't work for me. It does work for a lot of people.
I'm terrible at it. So,
well, and I enjoy the interspersed thing, right, because I don't hate my work. I like my work. I just don't want to be doing as much of it. So this allows me to basically take that extra day and splice it into the full 5 days.
Let's just explore that for a second. I don't want to be doing quite as much of it. You mean hours, because if you think about depth of work, you're still getting that. You're still doing that.
If we're using the word producing, my goal is to not continue to produce at the level I've been producing.
The level. Okay.
Yeah. So if I've been putting out X number of blogs or X number of interviews or X number of talks or interacting with X number of clients. Our business, we provide health and wellness coaching for employers. And then people that want to become health and wellness coaches, they come through our certification. And so instead of spending as much time preparing lessons or interacting with those clients, working alongside other team members to help them be able to step into those roles, and then devoting more time to the deeper writing, the deeper reading, the deeper pondering, if you will.
You have children that you still like, but they are all grown and out of home, which means you have the morning to journal and to read, a little bit more flexibility around the end of day that you have. So you can push your hours and move them around and manipulate them. Do you have any advice for those that still have people to feed and water daily and don't have the same flexibility?
I love the way you just said that. People to feed and water.
Yeah, they're always around. I don't know. Every single day they want to be fed.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, so our kids are 27, 25, and 23. One's a fifth grade teacher, one's an occupational therapist, and one's a med student right now, eventually be a physician of some sort. First of all, there aren't answers, people. Stop looking for the answers, because what works for Lisa is not going to work for Brad. I've been married 30 years this fall. Susanna is amazing. Lisa, you have not met her, but when you do, you'll be like, oh my gosh, Brad, you're so lucky.
I figured she was cooler than you.
She's unbelievable. Well, yeah. Obviously cooler than me, but she's just an amazing woman. And so what would work for her is different than work for me. So just a few thoughts off the top of my head. One is keep in mind phase of life. When your kids are 2, when your kids are 12, when your kids are 19, those are different phases of life. And the whole balanced wheel, I always laugh at this because especially in my world of health and wellness, people always use this stupid balanced wheel thing. Like you have food, fitness, psychology, work, family, and they all need to be balanced. And you're like, in what world? Like never.
There's not one day. There's not one day that I'm like, that was balanced. Nailed it.
And you don't want it to be. Because it's a phase of life. There are certain phases where you're going to spend far more time building your career. There are other phases you're going to spend far more time watching your fitness levels. You're going to spend far more time working on your marriage. You're going to spend far more time working with your kids. But there are ways to link those in. For example, I coached our son's basketball team for 8 years or something. And that was just awesome time together where we'd enjoy that physical activity of running up and down the court and driving to and from and that kind of stuff. But I don't get to do that with him now. Like he's in school, like he's an hour away going to med school, doing his thing. And we still get away to the Nuggets games a few times a year and the Rams games a few times a year, but I don't have that time. I don't look at it and go, oh my gosh, that relationship is totally unbalanced. No, it's a different phase of life.
Yeah.
Or what our daughter Ashley loves swimming. And so I was doing triathlons at the time. We'd probably swim together once a week oftentimes. And that's not something we do now. It's not something we did when she was 2. It's something we did when she was in those middle years and I happened to be training. It's looking for opportunities and not assuming that everyone needs to be the same throughout their lifespan. You're different and tune into those differences and it'll take the pressure off you too.
Yeah.
2 other things. One, when you examine your hobbies, remember their hobbies. I just wrote a blog titled, It's Not That Important. And it was to all my triathlon, ultra running, marathoning friends who are treating it as if they're professional athletes and that every day lives and dies on their Strava splits and their heart rate levels. And I could say that because I was one of those people. I was so focused on it. And I learned nobody cares. And that's not totally true. Like the person that finishes ahead of you in the race and the person that finishes behind you in the race might care. But your family doesn't care. Your coworkers don't care. Your friends don't care. They love you no matter. Like, stop. Like, put it in perspective. It's a hobby. And if you're going out for Ironman, again, I threw out the 20-hour week thing. Let's say you're training 20 hours a week. If you're saying, okay, I've got to get my 5-hour ride in this Saturday, and so the bike club goes at 10 a.m., I'm going to do that, well, you're just an idiot. Like, you want to be a dad, and you want to start your 5-hour ride at 10 a.m.? No wonder your family doesn't remember your name.
Right.
If you want to do a 5-hour ride, that's fine. If you've decided this is a priority and you've talked to your family and this is the route to go, awesome. But that 5-hour ride needs to start at 5 a.m.,
yes.
Not 10
so
a.m.
I just did this today, and I think this is such an excellent point. People that tend to compete at that level have a certain personality type.
Of course.
We're just born with it. It's how we work, and we're numbers driven, and we're slightly obsessive something or other to compete at that level. I am not at that level. So when I say run, I'm using it like lowercase run.
Fitness.
But I'm running and I'm training for a race right now. And it's the first time I've trained while having a young family. And the one thing that I have to say is my peak time is not when I get out. My plan needs to be changed 3 times. And adaptability is just now one of the skills I need to still get in that hour run or hour training session. But when it works and when having much more flexible mindset in a couple of years, when they no longer want to spend time with me, that'll be very different. Yep. But right now the training's not happening at the level I want it to. And I'm doing it when it works in, but I'm still training.
And who cares? Like really?
Right? No, and this is the thing. I work with a lot of cancer survivors. I've had a lot of conversations about regret and like retrospection on life. Nobody has said, I wish I trained harder or worked more. That's never been the conversation. And so I'm trying to remind myself of that often. And one of the reasons I'm trying this whole experience of the 4-day work week is what can I make of that more time? Regardless if it's actually the fifth day or interspersed during a day where you're getting in the things that really fulfill you and are meaningful for life.
And Lisa, that's important. Our conversation here is not an excuse for mediocrity. When I say it doesn't matter and I joke about who cares, well, if you've decided you want to make it to the Ironman World Championship in Hawaii, that's a great goal. That's a motivating goal. That will get you out of bed in the morning. That will keep you rolling. What I'm saying is do that in sections. Instead of devoting 7 years to it, build up gradually, spend 3 years just enjoying the sport, and then say, this year, I'm going all in. And talk to your spouse, talk to your partner, talk to your kids. How's this look? What do you guys think? I had a chance to do the Race Across America bike race a few years ago, and it was unbelievable. But the reason it was most unbelievable is our whole family got to be part of that crew. So there's a crew of 17 people that supports you and make sure you're able to get some sleep at night when your partner's riding and you're getting food and all that. And our kids were at a phase of life where they could all participate on that crew. Our son is a cook. Our daughter's a driver. The other driver was I think she was keeping track of the map and helping people with logistics. And so that's why it was special. Like, yeah. That was the cool part. Had they been 3 years old, that would have been psychotic to try to do that.
I mean, I probably would because I'm crazy with my kids like that. But yes, a very different experience and very different memories that they would take from that. And I do think that's one of the reasons I'm looking at the Disney half marathon. It's like, because that would be so much fun to do.
Exactly. And they'll remember that.
And what I do love about this, just kind of to take in our conversation all over the place, but somebody once said to me, make sure you still have dreams and you keep them after you have a family, because you don't want to say I've had dreams and then you came along. You right. want to model and you want to show that dedication, yep. training, et cetera, whether that's in your career or in sport or whatever it might be. But the way that looks, that's what I love from this conversation, might be very different. You might have Absolutely. To approach it much more strategically with having other constraints on your time, energy, and effort, and yep. sleep.
Right. And folks, don't sacrifice the sleep. You know, 10 years ago, we were all like, oh, I'll sleep when I'm dead. Well, now we know that's just stupid. Like, you're just
don't
not
sleep
good.
And you will be dead. So
exactly. Or you won't be effective. You won't be a good dad. You won't be a good employee. You won't be a good writer. You won't be a good speaker. You won't be healthy. Occasionally, we sacrifice sleep. If that's a habit, then we're on the wrong path.
So one of the things, one of the experts I'm going to speak to right away here is going to be a sleep expert to explore okay. this much further, because it has such a pronounced effect on our performance. Huge. But for me, just personally and just anecdotally, it is the response versus react. I react so quickly if I'm sleep deprived versus having that ability to be much more responsive, taking in the information I need to and making decisions, right? And so from a leadership or performance perspective, these are key. And so I think one, you've totally convinced me on the recess idea. So it's going to be something that I integrate and then going to get really creative. And if you have a, like, tweet me, if you have some good ideas on what I should be doing during this recess, again, I'm going to try it. And then I love the idea of the perspective of stage of life, because it's one of those things that I know what I'd like to do as morning routine. I never get to do it. So it's a version thereof totally. That is meditating for 5 minutes right. compared to what I, you know, 20 right. minutes would be more ideal. So just that flexibility and that nothing's totally. Forever.
Some of my PhD work was on, it focused on mental toughness and what influences mental toughness, which is a lot of the performance stuff you're talking yes. about. And sleep was one of the main things we looked at. It was fascinating yes. to see how sleep impacted, or at least had a causative effect on that functional mental toughness piece.
Absolutely. And resilient, like whatever you want to call it, from a mental capacity perspective, a mental health perspective, it's key. I'm terrible at it. And then I have a 2-year-old that's terrible at it. So it's such a frustrating conversation, because of sure. course you can't think yourself to sleep. If I could right. do that, I would. But yeah, I'm intrigued to learn more. Thank you so much for this
conversation.
That's good to see you. This was brilliant.
At Conscious Works, we offer workshops for you and your team. Check out our Mental Resilience Thriving Through Rapid Change workshop. It focuses on practical application and skill development. Take away simple tools to build resilience, enhance performance, and avoid becoming overwhelmed. Visit consciousworks.com/workshops for more information. You can also find me on LinkedIn and Instagram at Dr. Lisa Belanger. Also look up Conscious Works on all the platforms at Conscious Works. For more information on today's guest, visit our podcast page on our website at consciousworks.com.